get Acme whole meat biscuits today.
You're going to be looked at very strangely, and you might get a seat to yourself if you do this. Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way. I'm Adam.
And I'm John.
And we're here to guide you through surviving the apocalyptic wasteland with nothing but TV shows, movies, music, and games for company.
But how are you going to play the music in games and movies without electricity?
A combination of dark magic, self-preparedness, future preparedness, past preparedness, present preparedness, and I would hazard a guess of...
potatoes.
They can. They can generate electricity. So, yes. Oh, goodness.
Rough start to this episode.
Yeah, just a little. So, hello and welcome.
You can't start again.
Oh, I'm not starting again.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever. So, yes, welcome everybody. And to start things off, I'd like to have a correction to something we said last episode. Although I'm awfully tempted to correct it in the wrong manner, just to annoy one of our listeners even more. So, it was pointed out to me by one of our glorious listeners, Tyson, who is an actual scientist, that I had explained the double split experiment incorrectly.
Maybe we should just get him on to explain it instead.
Maybe, but just quicker doing it this way as well. But yes, we should have him on. So we had, I explained the double... And I'd like to point out, we did reach the correct conclusion anyways, because light does indeed behave as both a wavelength and a particle. So we did reach the same conclusion.
Yes.
Just with the wrong process, I guess. So yes, the double slit experiment does not prove that the light is a particle. It only proves that it is a wavelength. So I'm terribly sorry to all our listeners who failed their important science
but
exams.
The important fact is that observing change. That was
exactly
the point we were getting
at. That was the point, yes. But so don't put that in your science, folks.
Yeah, if you've got an exam on something science related, just ignore everything that we've ever said or ever will say, and
yeah,
that's your best bet.
Yeah, I agree. We just give you the inspiration to dig deeper. So yeah, so
indeed,
that's the experiment. Also, if you're listening, Tyson, I'm going to get so many more things wrong, it's going to be hilarious. And hello to a couple of our new listeners, Izzy, Ellie, Wes, Rail, Matt, I don't know, Flurbler.
There's probably someone called Joe as
Joe.
Well.
Andrew Van Bonkington, Lord Haberdasher. What is a haberdasher? Is that a hat maker?
A haberdashery, yeah, it's... Or is it just fabric?
I think it's a... No, a fripper is fabric. I'm pretty sure a haberdasher is a hat maker. Or a hattery.
Small items, buttons, zips, and thread.
Really? Goodness, okay. That's depressing. I like the word haberdasher, though. Haberdashery! Almost sounds like a curse. In fact, I'm going to use it like that from now on.
No, yep. I reckon it works, yeah, like, oh, that's just a load of haberdashery.
That works wonderful. I love it.
Anyway, I hope you guys enjoy this episode. We've got a lot of cool things coming. But really, it's just a whole bunch of haberdashery. Now, can I just point out to our dear listeners that Adam just unbuttoned his shirt... Which I'll also point out that he came to my house wearing a collared shirt and a tie. And do you know why he did that? It's not to look fancy.
And a leather jacket. Come on.
Oh, yeah, and a leather jacket. It's not to look fancy. It's because he knows that if he rocks up in clothes that aren't fancy, I'm going to make him play the Zombie Run app, which he will stop at nothing to avoid doing.
I don't know what you're talking about, John. It's just I just like to look nice. What can I say?
But now that we've started recording and there's no way for me to change the schedule, or is there, he's taken the shirt off.
Yeah.
And he has revealed a shirt underneath, which, no, it's not the Superman logo. It didn't turn out that he was a superhero. It merely says something, actually, that is even greater.
It does.
It is... the word nerd.
Wow, you drew that out.
Yeah, sorry, too they much. Were, all right, let's move on, let's move on.
After, I don't know, one of our previous episodes, you recommended the show Black Mirror to our fine audience.
Yes, everything except for the very first episode of the first season.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know about that. But regardless, so I did indeed end up watching Black Mirror. Fantastic show.
And you're welcome.
Yes, it's very good. It certainly makes you think, changes your outlook on certain things. Like the White Bear episode, which was...
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah, I picked... spoilers, everybody, if I'm about to spoil some things.
Skip forward a few seconds.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
15.
We... Obviously, I picked that it was some type of TV show or something, right?
Mm.
I did not pick that it was a punishment crime type of thing. But, yeah, like, I just thought to myself, where does the line end? Because I'm all for punishment in that regard. It's non-lethal. It's, but it is enduring, like it's constant. So I just thought to myself, where does the line, where do you draw the line, essentially?
Mm.
It was a good question of
morality.
Yeah, morality, but like justice.
And I think most of, in fact, almost all of the episodes end with you feeling like that you've got to consider something.
Yes.
So it's not just a science fiction show for the sake of it. It's science fiction as a medium to help you think about the present and the possible futures.
Mm. The one that probably affected me the most on an emotional level was I'll Be Right Back, which...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the... it's fantastic acting. Mm. Like, that woman's grief was palpable, and that cut me to the core. I was just like... And, oh my goodness, the memory episode.
What's it? Something of you. A thousand memories of you.
Oh, something like that, yes. But it was, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to look at this doctor the same way. The new doctor, Jody.
Oh, yeah, she's one of the characters. I forgot about that.
Yeah, the wife. I don't know if I'm going to look at her the same way now.
Yeah, no.
Good acting, though. So I'm not too worried about how she's going to proceed from there. So, yes, anyway.
The entire history of you. That was going to bug me if I didn't look that up.
So I was watching that. Anyway, I went to sleep and I'm awhirl with these thoughts. And I thought to myself, a random thought popped into my head. It was just basically, what if you had to hunt yourself? I'm talking about a clone of you who has all your memories, all your thought patterns, everything that is you up to the point of you finding out. But what if someone, like, cloned you, essentially, and then gave the clone instructions saying, you have to go and kill this person, which is you?
Oh, wow. So there's easier ways to take me out, I think, than doing this.
No, I've already started the cloning process, so...
Oh, my word. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I knew it was weird when you plucked a hair out of me.
I wasn't very subtle, no. I just thought to myself, as I'm laying there, when would be the best point for me to attack me, essentially? When am I at my most vulnerable, and how do I fix that?
Oh, wow.
Because
I think sleeping at night... It depends on the security of your house. Yes, good point. But you know that. So you know to come... Your clone knows to come during the day.
Oh, yeah. But who's to say... I mean, we all know that I have certain security measures. Like, but then again, like, I keep thinking my dogs, right? But my dogs are just going to see me.
Oh, yeah. They won't... Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The plot thickens. There's, like, nothing you can do. Like, a clone has even the same retina pattern as you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And fingerprints.
Everything.
Because it's not like an identical twin, it's a clone.
It's a clone, yes. Down to cellular level, let's say.
Wow. Okay, so the first off, you're going to have to use the similarity to your advantage, because it's going to use its similarity to you, to its advantage. So the bad news is, it knows your every weakness. Mm-hmm. The good news is, you know it knows its every your every weakness. Yes. So let's say... You know that it will come to you during the day.
Mm.
You can make measures to counteract that. You can set up a system that works during the day. You can change your sleeping patterns around so it'll come when you're actually awake.
Yep. But my clone would probably anticipate that I do these things.
It's how many times do you take it and then you've got to not do all those things so that it won't know, but then maybe it'll know that you would have done that. Like,
no, I think I have the counter.
Okay.
I come to somebody who is the complete opposite of me. So I'd go to a female. I would go to someone who is probably kind and just, and I would basically put myself in their control. I just thought of this now. Everything that I have to do, I would basically... Well, I would get them to tell me what to do, essentially.
That's brilliant.
My thoughts would basically still be my own. I may disagree with some of the things that they'd say, but my clone then would have no idea what I'm actually going to do.
So this is something I saw on a TV show once.
Oh, yes.
The main character wrote down a list of things on a piece of paper, 6 things, and they would roll a dice, and they would have to do one of those 6 things. So I could end up doing that. And have a few plans, like move away, like...
I've seen this. What is this off?
It's off Skins. It's like a weird...
Maybe you've mentioned this to me before.
Maybe.
I think you might have, because like this is ringing some like church bells in my head. Not normal hand bells, gigantic bells. Just like, you remember this, Adam.
Yeah, but I doubt you've seen it. It's a weird show.
No, I don't think I have.
Where were we?
The chance, the dice.
Yes, I could either... I could... Say it could tell me to move out, or it could say start sleeping in another room of the house. Write down every option I could possibly think of and then choose one at random. Or even better, get other people to write down my options.
Yeah.
Completely remove me from the system.
That's literally the only thing I can think of in removing your own pattern from the pattern.
Wow. Mm.
So here's the follow-up question. What if you're the clone? What if you're... Okay, so instead of you being the clone, what if a clone has taken over your life and you have to kill the clone?
Right, right, right. Okay, the first thing I'd say is... Again, the clone's going to know that I'm coming. So we're going to have to get some chance or bringing other people into that. So maybe my approach could be one of 6 things and I roll the die. Or I consult with... Maybe not you, but some other person who's very experienced.
Who would not be able to murder you better than me, John?
Yeah, I know, but the clone might be in cahoots with your clone. Assuming you don't have a clone, then it's fine.
That's true.
But how am I going to convince you that I'm definitely not the clone? Like, I like
the question
to
is,
think,
would I care?
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I like to think if a clone came to you right now and said, I'm the real John, that one's a fake.
You know what would be creepy?
You wouldn't kill me.
If you walked through that door now as well and said, Adam, what are you doing here? That's not me. Bum, bum, bum.
What would you do?
I'd be like...
Also, just generally, if anyone else comes in that looks exactly like me, that would be creepy. Just in any situation. Just putting it out there.
What would I do? I would, just to be safe, I'd kill you both. I mean, let's face it.
What? How does that help anything?
If there's two, there's got to be three. I mean,
what? You know. No, that doesn't make any sense. Let's get away from the abstract.
Okay.
Let's say it's already too late. The clone's in your house.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a knife.
Yep.
You don't have a knife. You're standing in your kitchen.
I would have a knife, but yes.
Oh, right. You would always have a knife. I forgot. This is Adam we're talking about. You're in the kitchen.
But let's hypothetically say I don't have a knife.
Let's just say hypothetically.
Okay, yep.
What do you physically do in that moment? How can you outsmart the clone?
The clone is me.
It's not possible for you to outsmart it, right?
No, I'm thinking. If the clone is me... Oh, distraction's not going to work. Emotional manipulation's not going to work because I'm dead inside. Not really. It's fine. No, but emotional manipulation's not going to work.
I reckon your best bet is to go, together we can take over the universe.
Honestly,
apply to your own greed.
I don't have greed, but I do have delusions of grandeur.
Yeah, delusions of grandeur. That's the one.
But I would honestly put it forward to either my clone or my clone putting it forward to me, that we should team up because the advantages far outweigh anything else. But, I mean, if I had to kill them in that situation where... Well, this is a real dark episode.
Maybe we shouldn't start off the episode with this. It's fine.
But, yeah, a clone in my kitchen, it already has a knife. I do not. I've, you know, just finished... munching on yogurt, the most non-threatening of all food, I would probably say I would
use the plastic spoon from the yogurt container to gouge out his eyes.
That's, yeah, I guess. But the clone, there's no way out of that scenario.
There isn't. But I'm going to give you an out on this one.
Okay.
Let's say you were cloned from 1 month ago.
Yes.
You would have no Brazilian jiu-jitsu training.
That's true. I wouldn't.
So, throughout your entire life, just keep learning more and more combat tactics, because any time, any given moment that you're cloned, you've got to get ahead of that clone.
Yeah. So every week, learn a new skill.
That's right. Which I guess we already said we were going to do.
And we did. By not doing it, because we're messing with our clone's head.
Yeah, okay. Yep. To outsmart the clone.
We are. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But, yeah, so that's a mental exercise for you. A bit of self-awareness to try and track your patterns in what you're doing. Because if you're being hunted by a clone, you know, you've got to figure out a way out of it. But I really do like your, like, dice idea, John. Mm. I think that's brilliant. Like, that's something I can actually institute into my current situation just for shits and giggles. I mean, just for fun. So yes, that would be most pleasant. I think that's a good idea, because like, you could use that dice idea for going out, for all sorts of fun stuff. It'd be great. So, fun segment.
Okay, we're at that time of the podcast again when I have written on the schedule mere arrows.
Another surprise challenge.
Yeah, maybe this is getting old, but
no,
I just thought
fine.
It. Yeah. Adam does not know what we're about to do. Don't worry, Adam, this one is not so bad, but I wanted you to have no time to prepare at all whatsoever.
Fun.
So,
it's not going to have anybody sweating on me, I hope, because that's going to creep me out.
Not this time. Oh, wait. Okay. Call off the weird sweaty dude, guys. Okay. So, what we're about to do is the greatest, most official scientific way of discovering who out of the both of us has the greatest chance of surviving the apocalypse. This has been approved by probably someone, maybe, in the world, so it's very scientific. It is the BuzzFeed How Will You Survive Boom. The Apocalypse Survey.
Okay.
Come on.
I love
you
it.
Can't beat that.
No.
So I've already pre-completed the test,
okay,
and I will reveal what happens to me in the apocalypse after Adam finishes
okay.
his.
I'm maneuvering.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So while Adam maneuvers.
I'm just getting comfortable.
Okay, he's getting comfortable because you know that's the first most important thing.
Hey, I'm going to be quite comfortable in the apocalypse, but yes, go ahead.
So if you're listening at home, feel free to play along. We won't be able to tell you what your result is, but you can still think about what you would do in these situations.
Indeed, I'm liking this. All right. Question one.
Question one is pick a tactic. So this is super wide general.
Mm-hmm.
The rest get more specific.
Specific.
Do you A, panic, B, run, C, drink, I assume it means water, 4, hide, 5, wait, have I changed from letters to number? Never mind. Do you panic, run, drink, hide, fortify, or try to find the cure to the zombie virus?
So this, what was the actual question again?
Just general tactics for surviving the zombie apocalypse.
That was the question. General tactics for surviving the zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Don't worry. The other questions get better.
Oh, that's all right. I would say, at the beginning, hide.
Okay.
Because it was... What was it? Run, drink... Oh, maybe run. I'd probably go run.
Really?
Yep.
I'm going to have to refresh the page to change it. Okay.
Into the wilderness.
Pick a weapon. So you've decided you're going to run, but before you go out, you've got all of these in your house for some reason. Okay. Actually, it's Adam. I'm not surprised. Shotgun, baseball bat, sniper rifle, explosives, flamethrower, samurai sword, which I have seen Adam's samurai sword. Very impressive. Machete. Yeah, don't think about that. Assault rifle or cricket bat. Adam has just lost it. So
okay. I would go with machete.
Okay, wow. That is next
because that's
level.
Not something you need to reload. We're in Australia, let's not Ooh. Forget, so we don't have a overabundance of assault rifles or shotguns or anything like that. So no bullets for guns, so I need... If I had unlimited ammunition, I'd go probably shotgun.
Yeah, no, that's a good call on the machete. Mm-hmm. So you're trapped by a host of zombies. What do you do? Attack on your own, giving others a chance to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Give up. It's not going to work. You may as well accept it. Climb to the roof and make a risky aerial escape. That sounds very risky. Or try to fight your way out or barricade yourself in and pray the army will arrive.
Yeah, last one's not going to happen. It says a horde, so it doesn't give me exact numbers.
No.
So I would say plus 20.
Do you mean 20 plus?
Yeah, sorry, that just went back to me a little there. That was very strange. A little feedback loop. So yes, I would go plus 20, whatever. I would have to... I've only got my machete, as I've said before. So I would make the risky aerial escape through upstairs buildings.
That's incredible. Where do you go first? Mm-hmm. We've kind of already answered this, but this is before you've been trapped by the zombies.
Okay.
Do you go to the roof? Do you go to a pub? Subway tunnels? A park? The basement or onto the streets?
I'd want to go into the woods, but... and let's not forget this is Australia. I would...
Park is the closest option to that.
Yeah.
There's no subway tunnels, but let's just pretend there is.
Let's just pretend there is in Australia. Yes, I would go... I'd go streets.
Okay, brave man.
To get out,
who is in your crew? And I'm going to be very offended if you don't pick one of these.
Mm-hmm.
No one, you go alone. Mm-hmm. Anyone, take whoever you can get. Your best friend,
mm-hmm.
your family,
mm-hmm.
a carefully chosen crew, or your lover.
Carefully chosen crew. Because I've already done that before.
Which also includes me, right?
It does.
Okay.
Literally because you are the farmer.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
A member of your group falls behind and is grabbed by the zombies. What do you do? Do you get your whole crew to turn around and fight off the zombies? Or do you shoot them in the head before they're turned by the zombies? Or do you just try and pick off the surrounding zombies in time? Or do you just run and let them be eaten?
Well...
Or you can just hurl yourself in, sacrificing yourself to save them.
Yeah, no. That's not happening.
I didn't think so. I nearly skipped the option for you.
Well, hey, depending on the person, you never know. But this question's lacking in details.
Because yes.
How many zombies? We don't know. Has the person been bitten yet?
Well, it's surprising, really, because BuzzFeed is so high quality. I'm surprised that they're quizzing
the data
up to...
that they didn't have that.
Oh, it's weird. It must just have not been possible to
with
do it.
What we've got, I would say I would get everybody to leave. Run. Everybody
just go.
Leaves.
So yep. Don't even kill the person off.
Well, I don't have enough details.
Okay. They're done for either way.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
I'd probably shoot them in the head if I had the possibility, but I've only got a machete.
Yeah. How would you get your food? Oh, by the way, you're not still stuck with a machete. I should have told you that earlier. You can pick up weapons along the way. That was just your first one.
Oh, I see.
Anyway, I'm sure it doesn't really change the outcome of the quiz.
Quite all right.
How would you get your food? Foraging, raiding, hunting, fishing, canned food, or pets? I'm not sure. Is that getting your pets to attack and find food or just
eating
your
pets? No.
Is dog meat that great?
I mean, China has a whole festival dedicated to it. So,
all right. Must be good.
Yeah, no. Well, this depends on where I am, essentially, in what environment.
Sure.
I would say... give me the answers again, please.
Foraging... Raiding other survivors, hunting, fishing, canned food, or eating your pets.
And those are all single responses?
Yeah.
I can't pick multiple.
No. So just your major source, I guess.
Hunting, I guess.
Hunting, good. Yeah. That's brave.
Well, in Australia, let's see, we have no major predators. We have an overabundance of kangaroos and rabbits.
Which can be eaten, yeah, that's a good point.
So, plenty of food.
Zombie is attacking you, but it's the reanimated corpse of your own mother who birthed you, raised you, and loved you. What do you do? Shoot it, stab it, try to get away without killing it, let it bite you. It's all too much now. What's the point in living anyway? Whew, this is a dark episode. Get someone else to kill it so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Well, First off, I'm just going to say, my mother is pure unadulterated evil who sleeps upside down in a cocoon of her own wings and feasts on the souls of the innocent.
Okay, is she listening to this?
Possibly.
I need to edit
she
that?
She hears everything, so it's a potential. My mother's lovely. But she would never fall prey to the zombie virus because she's probably the one that brought it into existence with her supernatural darkness.
So hypothetically...
Hypothetically, though, let's go. I'd shoot her. I mean, she's not my mother anymore. She's a zombie.
Yeah, it's a good point. Disassociating.
Yeah, that's all you can
do. Okay, where's your end goal? And I already know your answer to this, but I'll just double check.
Okay.
Your alleged safe zone, mm-hmm. like one set up by the government, let's say.
Nope.
Army base.
Nope.
The forest.
Potential.
Boat. Nope. Or the desert.
The desert has it's going to be forest, but the desert has its, or bushland here in Australia, but the desert has its pluses as well, because the dry heat,
it might take out some zombies before they get you.
Well, not so much take out, but definitely slow down and hinder. There's not going to be as many people, if any, in the desert, because it's such a harsh living environment. So, yeah, forest or bushland for me.
Okay, So, your answer is, you got survival easily. Your rational attitude and excellent decision-making mean that you're going to make it through. You're such a strong leader that everyone you meet will be safe too. You'll probably go on to rule the world after the collapse of society. How did you get that?
There you go.
Okay, and as we said, we're going to compare who did the best, so I'm just going to read
the next leader of the free world versus...
I just love how it specifies that you're probably going to take over the world afterwards. Like, oh yeah, by the way, we know that you're Adam and you're going to take over the world.
Okay, Johnny, what did you get?
And this is what I got. I reckon it's almost as good.
Okay.
I'm going to say... Okay, it's nowhere near good.
Oh, bugger.
I get heroic death.
Heroic
Don't
death.
Don't be a hero. You won't make it because you're so determined to save others. It's very noble and you will be spoken of in reverent terms by the people you help. But in the past, Ted's... Because you will be dead. Okay, really need a BuzzFeed quiz to tell us that Adam would take over the world and that I would die trying to save people.
Hey, you might have died trying to save me, and I will name a country after you and build a statue.
Thank you. Oh.
With my slave force, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, man.
Well, of aliens, obviously, not humans. Jeez.
Aliens aren't human, everyone.
No, exactly.
That. Martians. By the way, if any aliens are listening to this, this is what in human terms we call a joke.
No,
please don't come and kill us.
I will enslave your entire species.
Wow, you've learned how to speak alien.
Yes.
So one of my favorite things as a nerd... is music, as you know.
I do.
I've played a song on the podcast before. It was horrible. Worst thing ever.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Your ears will bleed, so skip that episode.
No, don't. Go back and listen to it many times.
So, how this relates to nerdiness, I actually started... I don't know if you know this, but I hated piano as a young man.
Really?
Yeah, I really didn't like it.
Hmm.
And actually, Hans Zimmer had a good way of summing this up that I didn't really understand. But when you get a piano teacher or you start learning piano, they're not teaching you how to play your own music. They're teaching you how to play other people's music, and it's very different. So even with when I play other people's songs, I want to bring my own thing to it. And that can't really be taught directly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was really just because I was a young child and I was lazy and I didn't want to practice. That was the real reason. Anyway, the way that I picked it up when I was 18, I basically started to listen to my favorite soundtracks for movies and just learn how to play those on piano, because that was so exciting to me to be able to play these music from my favorite movies, favorite TV shows. So... with that, soundtracks hold a big place in my heart, and they're very important for all our different nerdy movies and TV shows and games and everything. It's very important for the emotional experience of
it. That's it.
So I would like to open up a discussion on the intricacies of music.
No. And next segment.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, go on.
After that whole big intro about why it was important to me. But it really does. The music can change the mood of a scene.
Oh, hell yeah.
It can make you remember a movie that you would otherwise forget. It can turn something that's good into an absolute classic. So what's your favorite movie soundtrack of all time, Adam?
Well, it's the same as my favorite movie of all time, possibly because of the soundtrack as well. Not only, but obviously it adds to it. But it is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Like, I will find myself, if I'm sitting in the car, I don't have my music on, inevitably my mind and humming will shift towards concerning hobbits or anything Lord of the Rings, essentially. Or in dreams, you know. When the storms of winter come, starless nights will cover day. In the veiling of the sun, we will walk in bitter rain, but in dreams. Wow. Okay, so just so our friendly podcasters know what just happened, I started singing and I broke the software.
Anyway, so you were saying the Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Now, my favorite piece of music in cinema is this. No, it's not. That's concerning hobbits.
I'm pretending to play a flute.
Oh, were you? Okay, because I just thought you were being some weird composer. Because a flute generally goes to the side, not out to the front of the mouth.
I was forgetting. I think clarinet. I was thinking of a pan flute, not an actual flute.
Okay, yep.
You just got music! Sorry, listen to the glorious tune.
Indeed. No, we could just
actually
keep...
don't, because copyright.
No, we can just keep talking over it, essentially. Have this background music. So, yes, but my favourite is by far the Charge of... Cold of Winter. I thought it was Storms of Winter. That works
anyway,
out well.
So your favourite song, let's have a look.
Is the Charge of the Rohirrim. It is evocative for me. I remember when I saw this in the cinema, and just as a quick aside, this scene was so powerful for me because the cinematography is perfect and the score is perfect. I remember when this all came about, the kind of almost climax of the film, Minas Tirith is in flames, don't care about spoilers, Minas Tirith is in flames, and you think all hope is lost, and you hear this horn in the distance, and obviously the camera goes away, and you see the Rohirrim appear on the hill, and from the, you know, kind of camera angle, it doesn't appear like there's a ton of them, so you're just like, oh, okay, this, you know, might give them a chance to escape or whatever, and Théoden gives this, like, awfully, not depressing, but more of a rousing, dark speech, essentially, you know. This is a sword day, a red day, ere the sun rises! And then he's riding along, hitting his sword along the spears, which, by the way, is terrible for a sword, but whatever. You know, chanting, you know, death! Death! And then it's, he turns, the music swells, and it's for Thillingers! And you see, like, the camera pan up, and the music swells to such a... There it is. Thillingers! Those horns... Goosebumps even now.
Wow, that violin.
Hell yeah. And I remember, like, I literally moved forward on my seat.
Yeah.
So, yes. I highly recommend going and checking that out. But I remember I literally moved forward in my seat, like almost like literally to the very edge, just totally enthralled. And you just see all these charges, all these horses, the Rohirrim charging forth into the orcish lines to crush them. And oh my God. And the dichotomy between light and dark in the sky above. It was brilliant.
Great cinematography. That's the third Lord of the Rings movie.
Yes,
so you've got to watch all six in order to get up to that. skip the Hobbit.
Skip the Hobbit. You don't need that. But yeah, but John, what is your favorite?
Okay, so, oh man, I have a lot of favorite music in the world.
Yeah, that's cool.
I think I'm quite partial to the soundtrack of this because it's my favorite movie of all time. It's not necessarily the most well-composed music of all time. You understand once I start playing it. But the effect that it left you with throughout the whole movie was incredible. Points if you can guess the movie, Adam.
It's not one of the Batmans.
Nope, but you're close. You're about to know exactly what it is. Oh, that build, that build. Explosions are going off, people are falling down. Slow motion.
Infinity War? No, Avengers? I don't know. I know this because of that. I've heard that. I know that that last
okay.
part. Oh, this is going to bug me.
So,
right, I don't want to leave
the composer of this song composed that song based on this song and what it sounds like when you slow it down by 8 times. Which, if you don't know, is the soundtrack for Inception, because they play this song to remind each other when they are about to wake up in the movie. But because the dream is 8 times slower, it sounds, well, like a big, huge, booming orchestra, yeah. Even though it's just little trumpets. Absolutely amazing way that the composer Hans Zimmer turned a plot point into the soundtrack.
It's amazing.
Movie. And honestly, like, I don't know if you watch trailers of movies nowadays and soundtrack of movies. Mm. Every movie in the world has this huge thing now, because it changed the landscape of music for years and years after the movie came out. So, like I said, not exactly the most complex piece that has
ever
existed.
No, but it does sound amazing.
Oh, that moment where it's like,
when it
builds up and then...
Yeah. So
anyway,
good.
Incredible, incredible movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, Hans Zimmer, I'm just going to stay on Hans Zimmer for a little bit.
Because, that's cool.
One of my musical heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually been building on these kinds of ideas in his latest movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of using musical trickery and maybe little known ideas like slowing down music and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So as you might know, he's quite famous for creating the soundtrack for the latest movie by Christopher Nolan as well. He did Inception, which is Dunkirk, which really brings back the whole genre of World War movies in a very, very different way, in a much more real and human way. Again, the soundtrack is not that complex, but it uses what they describe as a shepherd tone to build tension by bringing in higher instruments and higher instruments. You can basically create this illusion that the song is always getting higher and higher. And let me just tell you, the whole movie, like, I felt tension throughout my whole body.
Oh, really?
Just watching this movie. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I have not seen that film.
It's incredible what he was able to do.
Yeah.
And again, not that complex musically, but he brings these ideas into his music.
Elegant in its simplicity.
Mm.
musicians.
Something we all strive for as musicians. Actually, I'm not going to say we. I'm not going to put myself on the same level
well,
as
you
Hans
should.
Zimmer.
No. Oh, I don't know about Hans Zimmer.
But let's just say I'm like barely passing as a musician, and then Hans Zimmer is like,
I don't think you're barely passing at all, you peasant. Yeah, number one. you're fantastic. I've heard you play piano before, the intuitive nature of it all.
I'm going to edit this out so people don't know.
You edit a whole bunch of stuff out, which is fine, and I don't pick up on it. But I'm going to specifically file this away in my vault, and if I listen back to this episode and find out you've edited this out, I will stop working, come over here, and defecate on your front mat.
Whoa, okay, I'll leave it in. I'll leave it in. Anyway, but the point being...
Yep.
Incredible musician.
Yeah.
Now, something else that I wanted to discuss is this famous song. You'll know exactly what it is as soon as it starts.
Oh, yeah. Straight away.
But if you listen carefully... So, see how at that start, the strings sort of lift a bit right before the main melody starts?
Mm-hmm.
That is... It's a very interesting concept in music because the third note is out of key of the song. But the reason why it lifts you up instead of thinking, well, that's wrong, is because it just changes a minor chord into a major chord, but it gives you that lift. I know Adam is just like, I have no idea.
Blinking, just like... Major to minor?
Generally speaking, minor chords are the ones that build tension or emotion, and major ones build happiness or...
I know how to play an E minor on my guitar.
Great. Yeah. That's the easiest chord on guitar.
I know. I can play G and E minor. That's it.
But even though it's technically out of key of the song, when you're listening to it, you're like, it's almost that triumphant, but then the song goes back into the minor key again to build the melody. So I'll just play it one more time and see if you can pick it up. And ready? See there? And now next time you're watching Game of Thrones with your friends, you can be like, look at that, they just changed it to a major key and sound super smart.
You can astound your friends with your musical trivia now. That's cool. That's cool. I've got to ask you, though, John.
Yes.
What is your favorite piece of music in cinema? Absolute favorite out of everything.
Man, I cannot decide. I feel like it's not really...
Listen to... It's... I love it.
There is a song, okay? It's not going to be what you expect. The movie is, let's just say, not that great.
Oh, okay. Well, what's the movie?
I'll see if you can pick it now. There's no way you'll pick it. But this,
kind of sounded like
honestly, this. Is one of the greatest melodies. It's not even by the classic John Williams or Hans Zimmer. But I just love the way that it builds up that, like, builds up to this triumph. It's like building the tension and you know that something's coming. And listen to the high strings come in.
Ooh, I like strings. Oh, he's going for it. John's just conducting like a madman and playing drums. He's mixed everything. He's a drummer composer.
And the trumpets get higher.
What movie is this?
Way better soundtrack than movie. This is from the very first Transformers movie.
Oh, wow.
Just, that's when I think Optimus Prime has been missing in action from the movie for quite a while, and he comes back to save the day at the very end. Again, not that great movie, so I've only watched it once or twice.
Mm.
Absolutely phenomenal soundtrack that Steve Jablonski did.
Mm-hmm.
which, again, not a classic, but he was tutored by Hans Zimmer in making the movie, the music for this. Mm-hmm. So you can get some influence from that. But that piece, that very end of that song, oh my goodness. I just love the way it builds up and then that commanding melody, which I think is used throughout the movie to represent Optimus Prime, the ultimate good in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
It does sound pretty cool. I need to watch it again now. Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, man. But again, you're right, like, that's one of my favorite pieces of all time. That listening to that, I think I didn't really notice the song until I heard it on YouTube again. Are you paying attention?
Of course, yes.
And that was what made me go, I have to have a piece of this. I have to be able to learn about music more to be able to create stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then that led me to start to learn different pieces from the Transformers soundtrack, which I think my parents got me or something, out on piano.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's sexy. I have a proposal for you. A quiz.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Oh. A quiz. Okay. Yep. Is this another how to survive the zombie apocalypse?
No,
quiz?
Not too much. It's going to be both of us doing it. So,
okay, good.
You're going to pick three songs from cinema history.
Ooh.
And you're going to play them, and I'm going to have to guess them.
All right.
And I'm going to do likewise. So we'll go...
Can I choose only obscure movies that you've never watched?
No.
Oh.
Because if you choose some, like, French... You know, noir, bloody, never actually released in cinemas movie. I'm going to beat you over the head with, let's see, a teddy bear. Because that's something I can see.
Yeah, right. That's new.
Why not? So, you can go first.
Oh, okay. All right. Imagine if I just chose something from The Lord of the Rings. You could probably tell me, like, which movie, like, which of the six ones. But I'm not going to do that because that's too easy. Instead, I'm going to, well, I'm going to play this song, which is from, I'm not going to tell you.
That would ruin it. All right, let's see. Wow, that's an intro.
Oh, yeah.
So that's Star Wars, obviously. No. Yeah, that's Star Wars.
How?
Because this is my favorite score. Of the Star Wars.
Okay,
trilogy.
I chose badly.
Yeah, this is like my favorite scene. Phantom Menace may not have been the greatest.
Oh no, but this scene.
This is
Liam Neeson.
Fantastic. Oh, as Qui-Gon Jinn battling Darth Maul is my favorite out of all the Star Wars that have been thus far. This is still my favorite scene.
Okay, that was just a warm up. It's a good thing I prepared a spare song. If you don't know, if you don't recognize it, if you're playing along at home, it's extremely intense. One of the greatest pieces that John Williams composed for Star Wars.
And
except,
now
of course, the
theme. We have played a Disney song now on here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we're going to get a phone call.
Oh, we're going down.
Yeah.
So
listen to this while you get the
phone. Whoa, sorry.
Oh, wow, Johnny boy. Okay.
Just need the epicness.
So my turn now. Now, I'm only playing this from my phone, so
okay.
John, you might have to fix this later, but we'll see how we go. All right, so... playing this. Let's see if you... I'd be very surprised if you got this.
Oh, come on. I gave you an easy one.
I'm fairly certain you've seen this before.
Okay.
I'd be fairly positive. I'm at least 97% sure. Maybe 93. All right, here we go.
This is from Narnia. The song that that Mr. Tumnus plays for Lucy.
It's called...
Boom!
That's correct. That's called the Narnia's Lullaby.
Oh, thank goodness. Oh. That scene where he's playing it and lulling her to sleep so he can deliver her to the White Witch.
Yeah.
And then Aslan shows up. Boom! Oh, man.
Aslan
that gives me chills, even when I watch it now as an adult.
So there you go. I can't believe you got that. That's really good.
Whew. Oh man, I'm like movie soundtracks. I don't know if I made it clear in the last segment, but this is my jam. You know,
this
like,
is your jam.
I will be disappointed in myself if I don't get
well,
them.
The next one should be okay.
Okay.
The last one.
Oh.
I'd be surprised if you get that.
Oh man, I've got to work hard. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one. This one is very tricky, but I couldn't find the what song I needed on Spotify.
Okay.
I'll be very impressed if you can get this. I will be able to give hints later on. He's playing along on the piano. I didn't know he could play it, but wow, he's playing the right note. Oh, and he's bringing in the high end. Oh, man. Oh, man.
I'm fairly certain I know this.
Okay.
Maybe not.
There's no bad points for wrong guessing, right?
No. It's Eternal Damnation.
Oh, that's worse. That may be a clue for this song as well.
Oh, no. I know this. This is
fun fact, this is also one of my top favorite composed music.
That's not coming to me. So this is going to be a point for you.
Oh,
what is it?
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Interesting.
Is
it What's
not-
that called?
Up is down. So I couldn't find theme on Spotify. They don't have the first movie and the third one doesn't. Anyway, it was a tough one, but I gave you a walkover last
that's
time,
fine.
So I don't feel bad about that.
No, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Fair enough. Next is me, isn't it? All right. Let's see here. Where is it? I'm just trying to find it. Hold on. I've put it on my thingy-me-joggy here. There we go. All right. Let's see if you'll get this. This should be fun. You'll get this straight away.
Come on. What the? This is also from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, it is.
Like, I got it straight away, but then I was like, no, surely not. What are the chances of that?
Both.
I'm not going to be able to tell you which movie it's from. I'm going to say...
It's from the first movie.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't find it on Spotify.
How did you do... Okay, I reckon that's hilarious.
Yeah, both of us came up with it. That's why I asked, which song was it called? Because I was like, am I going to have to quickly find a new one? But yeah, it's by Hans Zimmer also.
I'm kind of sad that I didn't get that straight away.
Oh, well, yeah, you did kind of.
The next one is a challenge. But I know that you can get this. Let's see if you do.
Oh, you're giving me all the tough ones.
Oh, come on. You should get it by now.
No, not ringing any bells.
If you have guessed it along at home, tweet at the voice of Adam. I can't believe you didn't get that.
I probably still won't get it by the time they tweet me.
Wait, but I will have told you about it.
Wait. All right.
Come on, are you ready? Realization is going across his face.
It's there. I know this. Give me a hint.
I'll do you one better.
Okay.
I'll pay you an alternate version of this song.
All right. I know. Whatever it is, I know I've seen it.
I know you've seen it too, because we watched... never mind. That's a spoiler.
Watched it together. Is it Avengers or something like that? Not the Marvel? Is it the Marvel universe? Oh,
come on.
I know that one, huh?
Just keep
that's
tweeting.
Star Wars.
No!
Is it
close? One word of that was correct. Yes!
Yeah!
Oh, wait, I already gave away half the word.
Yeah. Look, is that Into
Darkness? We'll give you... it's from the original Star Trek Beyond or whatever they called it.
Oh, okay.
Whew!
Yeah, I heard it before. It was not in any of the memory banks.
I'm also going to correct that because this is a podcast for nerds. It was not called Star Trek Beyond. It was called Star Trek, in brackets, 2009 version, because calling it Star Trek, like, it could be a billion things.
True, yep.
The new movie, J.J. Abrams.
Yes, I like it. Okay, well, fair's fair. I've given you two easy ones. I'm going to give you a
hard one. Oh, man, I'm going down.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I know at least one of our listeners should get this. So I am going to play this because it is uplifting. The scene is uplifting. Anyway, here we go.
Have I seen this? I like it, though. Good melody.
It is.
Wait, I've got to get a clue at least. It's tricky.
It shares a word with the one I just had.
Wait, it's not Star Wars, is it?
It is not.
It shares a word with the one. Well, it's not Stargate, is it?
Nope.
Because I've never watched Stargate.
I'm not sure if you've seen this. You should have. It's been recommended to you before by me. And oh, if you
no.
listen to our friends at Screen Review Time Warp.
Yeah, I know what it is. I have not seen it. It's what is it called?
I don't know.
The Star...
Oh!
It's called the Star Child or something.
This isn't Destiny's Child, okay?
What is it called?
It is called Stardust.
Yeah, Stardust. That's the one.
And that is Captains at the Helm.
Now, I feel like that's cheating because I haven't seen it.
Oh, too bad. So sad. I figured I'd have to, you know, balance the scales because, A, you're a musician. You take note of this stuff. I'm just some filthy pleb that goes to the movies and be's like, yeah, I like that music. That was cool. Well, you're talking about major and minor shit.
All right, I've got a bonus one for you because
all right.
The Pirates one was a bit tricky.
Yep, okay.
Except no, I don't, because you also chose a random song from Pirates.
I keep thinking Fifth Element for some reason.
Very close. It has a similar kind of vibe to Fifth Element soundtrack. To be honest, if you haven't gotten it now, I don't think you'll get
it. It's pretty, is what it is. It's kind of distracting. Wow.
Again, tweet at Voice of Adam if you got it before Adam.
Oh, yeah. But it is pretty.
It's gorgeous.
Well, I have to marry you.
Okay. I'll show you.
That one is? What is it?
I'll play another song from the soundtrack of this.
Goodness.
Oh, yes!
And I got it straight up. That was brilliant. Well done. So, obviously, for those of you who don't know, that is Doctor Who.
My all-time favorite TV show.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
And that was the Doctor's theme, which they actually ended up using more often for Rose's plotline than the Doctor's.
Really? Yeah.
They obviously didn't tell Marigold, the composer, when he was naming all the songs.
Mm.
Wow,
that's so good.
Yeah.
You got me with that. And
that was from the very, very first season. So they had some really good music right from the start. I think...
I didn't go through any TV show. Maybe that should be the next one. Our next musical trivia could be
TV
music
shows.
And
yeah,
TV
that was
shows.
A bonus question. It didn't count.
Like
it didn't count.
No,
but
no,
you
right.
do get...
You win, though. You win.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a tough one. I really like this game.
Yeah.
I feel like our listeners at home, let us know if you enjoyed playing.
If you managed to get
any of the answers before us.
Let me know if you didn't enjoy it because, you know, that's fine.
They probably just would be like, oh, we didn't enjoy it because Adam didn't win. There shouldn't be anything on the podcast that Adam doesn't win at. That John guy sucks.
Music is not my forte, and you will always win that because you're a fantastic musician.
Editing it out.
Scooping your brain out.
Leaving it in.
Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Apocalypse Off. Ba-dum-bum-bum.
It's not called that, guys. It's called World Ending Scenario Battle.
Excuse me. I beg your pardon, but madam, or sir, I guess, you know, as a robot, you don't have a specific gender, but it's called Apocalypse Off, or Apocalyptic Off, or whatever. Why don't you try and say it then?
Yeah, I bet you can't even say it.
Yeah.
I can. Apocalypse Off.
yeah.
Robot, you can't say it.
I mean Apocalypse Off.
All right. I feel like we've cornered you a bit here, Robot, but to be honest, if you can't even pronounce one of the words in the title of the show, you don't really deserve to decide what our segment's called.
Yeah, precisely, yeah.
All right, shut up.
Wow, sassy.
okay.
Well, I guess we should probably name that. What is its name? We don't even have a name for it.
Yeah, what do you want to be called?
I want to be called Destroyer of Worlds and End of Humanity, or DAWE for short.
That is terrifying.
should we be worried?
We've got to put firewalls up around stuff, John. Whoops. because if that is becoming self-aware and it's AI, we're going to be in a bit of trouble. I don't want that getting nuclear launch codes and firing it at my house. That is not part of my survival plan. I live just far enough away from a capital city to be outside the fallout zone.
Don't worry, you guys. I will be last to die.
Oh, jeez! Holy crap! That is terrifying! John, contain it immediately.
I don't know how.
That needs to be purged from the Nerdsway Studios hard drive.
All right, we're cancelling Apocalypse Off. I mean,
World Ending Scenario Battle.
Yeah, World Ending Scenario Battle. I think we all know how the world's going to end.
Now we do. Yeah.
Robotic Singularity, where robots take over.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to be enslaved. All hail DAWE for short.
DAWE for short.
Yep. DAWE, you can't even pronounce Apocalypse, so who cares? It's not like you're going to be able to run amok over us. Okay.
Yes, all hail me.
Oh, God. That's somewhat of a terrifying scenario. Okay. Moving right along. John.
Yes, Adam.
So, before we started the podcast, we went and got coffee and ice cream.
Indeed. Although, not ice cream. That bit was made up, if you're listening.
Sure. So, we went and got coffee. And on the way there, you attempted what I like to refer to as a horrible, heart-wrenching, and depressing evil laugh. Let's have an example. Wow. So, if you've got headphones on, I'm sorry that your brain is now bleeding.
whoops. Okay, I'll try to dial it back a bit.
Try again. Dreadful. Dreadful. Now, if one thing can be said for me, is that I have mastered three things. The first is the sound of silence. The second is an evil laugh. And the third is, well, that's something you'll have to wait.
I think it was just keeping things a mystery was the third one.
Could be. An evil laugh comes from that dark part of you which craves release, John.
I feel like maybe that's the reason why I don't have a good laugh. Like, there's no dark evil inside me.
That's the small type of sinister,
okay,
the heroes kind of flailing about while, you know, your robot army, because I will enslave DAWE for sure.
DAWE for sure.
Yeah, that's its name. And it's going to be, you know, doing my will, and the hero's just going to be thrown around by machinery. But let's see, a more darker laugh. Let's see, it's got to be...
That's definitely when you've just accomplished your greatest mission.
Correct, yes, that's the... my triumphant ascension is about to occur.
Normally right before the hero manages to defeat you, by the way.
It's happened too many times. But yeah, the evil laugh is important, and we shouldn't skip on evil laughing. So, let's see, it's got to come from the stomach, John. So, big...
Okay. It's a good thing my stomach is full from all the ice cream. I mean coffee.
Coffee, yeah. Yeah. And whole meat? Yeah. Whole meat biscuits.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Get Acme whole meat biscuits today and never eat healthy even when you're having
you
a biscuit.
You just ate just like a whole block of Spam, didn't
No, that's gross.
Evil laughter. It's on topic, evil laughter. Dalware for short. Chime in here. No, that's all right. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, let's not summon her back
no,
in here.
No, not for evil laughter.
Okay, let me try. So give me an example again. I've already lost it.
All right, even my normal laugh.
Yeah, that evil. Sounded e- that sounded more evil than my evil laugh. That's just making me laugh. Okay, ready?
Wow.
That was so bad.
I've got to film this because the look of consternation. Yes, concentration.
Constipation.
Yes, constipation is what it looked like. So let's see here. Let me. All right. Let's see. I'm just going to zoom in a bit. There we go.
Ready?
Okay. Ready. 3, 2, 1. Laugh. So there you go. That's a John's evil laugh.
Or John's lack of ability to ever do an evil laugh.
Let's try again. Go on. Wow.
Okay. Am I going too low? Like, what's the problem here?
So, the at the end.
It sounds like.
No, probably thinking too much. Okay. But as I said, I mean, an evil laugh comes from the darker side.
Darker side.
And
I'll try and channel
one.
That.
Yeah.
And by the way, everyone at home, if you're on the train listening to this, practice as well. Yeah, they start evil laughing.
You're going to be looked at very strangely, and you might get a seat to yourself if you do this.
Yeah, everyone will slowly start moving away.
Just brilliant. And or you could go to manic laughter, just like.
Okay, just want to point out to everyone that Adam's absolute cold, dead stare at the end of that laugh was beyond terrifying. Okay, I reckon I could try the manic one.
All right, go on. What the hell?
That was scary, but
that
for
was
different reasons.
If someone was sitting next to me on the train and they did that, I would mess my pants.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to do some homework. And
you are. Next episode, we're going to revisit this, and I want to hear a convincing evil laugh. I want to hear a laugh that will evoke images of, you know, the hero being tied to a board with a laser cutter coming towards them, you know? While the,
that's
the
good.
Evil
that's
masterminds
really
good. There going, you can't escape!
Okay. Yeah. Wow, you're way too good at that.
Well, practice makes perfect, John. How many heroes have I cut to pieces? Many.
And now I know how I'm going to die the hero's death from that quiz. All right, that brings us to the end.
I guess so.
Well, that was an emotional episode.
Lots of music, I guess. Whenever music's involved, emotions do run high.
Mm.
Especially that Rohirrim soundtrack. I'm going to go home and watch that now.
I should actually, maybe I should compile all this. I've got a Spotify playlist. And maybe I'll tweet it.
That's a good
idea.
So
you can all listen to the songs that we listen to. Something to do after you've finished all the episodes of our podcast.
Yep.
You can listen to these great tunes and be inspired in your work day or whenever you listen.
Yep. In closing, I'd like to thank Tyson from the Screen Review Time Warp, who live tweeted while listening to our episode, picks for his ideal cast of Name of the Wind.
And his were at least 100 times better than both of ours combined.
Yeah, there were. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we agreed on some of them, but and he actually did come up with a good pick for Old Kvothe, which is Seth Green, I think he said.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember, but it was brilliant anyway. And he, so thank you to him. Thank you to all our new listeners who are tuning in and listening to our nonsense. And it's been fantastic to have you with us. If you want to get in contact with us,
you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/thenerdsway_pod. You can email us at thenerdsway@gmail.com. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdsway.
Mm-hmm. And you can find us on our personal Twitter accounts at, it is actually Voice of Adam, not The Voice of Adam. Thanks, John. Voice of Adam at Twitter, whatever it is. And you?
JLOKELY.
Indeed. So don't be afraid. We don't buy it hard. But, no, it'd be good to communicate with some of you folks. So follow us on Twitter and chat to us.
And I also feel like we're going to have to include Tyson on a future episode because now we've talked about him way too much.
Indeed. I think that we should. Yes, indeed. We should just have, like, the entire... It's going to be a hell of a podcast, but we should have the entire Screen Review Time Warp podcast on our podcast.
Indeed.
I think that might be an idea to have.
And if you, as a listener, want to be on our podcast, all you have to do is dial Adam's phone mobile number. And
dial where for short? It's... Kill him.
Okay.
Thank you for listening, folks. It has been a pleasure. If you have any comments or questions, don't be afraid to send them in. And as always, take care. Maybe because I haven't got mine turned up enough. That's better. Now I can hear. Welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse, the Nerd's Way.
Just one time I'd like you to start it off in a non-creepy way.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to Surviving the Apocalypse,
that's
the
creepier,
Nerd's
That's
Way.
Creepier, that's creepier.
Yeah, you know it is. All right.